into episode 145 of Caithness Craft Collective. I always seem surprised when I say that. Wow, look at me, I'm at this number. I'm Louise, and today I've got a blather with Unleashing, What's a Crack, Coming Up, Review Section, Mimi Me Section, Shoppy Section, and a Drams Section with a Kilhoman Malt Whiskey. I sponsor this for my own crafty business, which is www.etsy.com/shop/CaithnessCraft. All links are with the show notes, so get your cup of tea or your dram, and I'll let you know what a crack is in Caithness this week. I am sad to tell you that our lovely listener Jamie has lost her fight with breast cancer after a very hard and dignified battle. She was a wife, a mother, a grandmother, a sister, an auntie, and a daughter. Jamie was first a listener from August 2013, and she was beautiful and accomplished crocheter. She started to knit then, and then she used YouTube to teach her because she didn't have anyone close by to go to knit night with or help her. She was a beautiful knitter as well, and she latterly found spinning, and you all helped enormously near the end when you very generously sent her some different fibres to play with. I can't thank you enough for your kindness to our friend, and I will miss Jamie's friendly emails and blathers on Skype and likes on Instagram. It's something that I notice that isn't there. Some listeners come and go, and that's absolutely grand, but some stay, and I will mourn her passing for a long time to come. Our thoughts and prayers are with her family, and especially Steve, who was her angel on earth. This episode is very much dedicated to our crafty friend Jamie. May she rest in peace.
Now for the blather.
The blather. Unleashing still. Well, last episode hit a few nerves, and some of you did go into your stash and let rip. I quite enjoyed reading that on the board. I was listening back and thought, wasn't I going to address the size and content of the stash, and also, stash is not just about the yarn in it, and I hadn't, so we're still here. It includes the patterns and the equipment, the fibre, it's everything. Your friends you craft with, or the craft knights themselves, they are stash too. Possibly don't tell your friends that they're stash though, they might not like that. This is about organising and making it work, and a little clear out too. Stop shuddering and running away. I've heard it's good for us to get a good clean out, and this one might not include prune juice. Well, I was rummaging around on the introduction thread, found out who had left the group, some of whom surprised me, others not at all. But I commend them because they've had a bit of a clean up. I am guilty of just attending to my own podcast group on Ravelry, the odd post and a couple more. I lurk on a few. Never get political or ranty, so I stay away from them ones. But it's safe to say that I'm not a big chatter on Ravelry. I am on a fair few groups, though, and I tidy them into different tabs as to some category or other. Did you know that you can change your Ravelry forum groups into pages? Find out where it says your name at the top right. Then you go down a bit and find the list. I always think that if you're not on the list, you're not coming in. And then below that, there's a tab for settings. Click that, go through all the moving and clicking and the selections over there. It's quite good because then you can have, say, all your designers together, all your podcasts together, all the blathering ones together, all the random things together too. Also, when was the last time you were in your Ravelry crew or... crew? You were in your Ravelry crew. Hey, you've got a crew, dude. Or your library, and you had a good look and you think about it. The library can again be organised by author or title or date or published, which is good for all of us who like to file things in different ways. I do recommend that you have all your pattern books and magazines listed on your library on Ravelry because then you can use the search facility much easier. For instance, you need to make a tea cosy for a swap and you type that into your search and it comes up with a whole book and also various books and magazines that you have that they've got tea cosy in it. How much easier is to search online, you find the issue that you have it in, and then you go to the issue from the front page rather than all the magazines. I mean, that is quite good fun, but it can be very time consuming. So the queue, or your crew. Okay, I've got 34 queued patterns, and that's quite a lot to me. Others might have 70 and upwards. This might be things for you seen and think, ooh, I like that. I've got yarn set aside for it. Our tastes and requirements do change over time, And it's a quite a good place to go in and think, am I ever going to knit that, darling? No, I don't think I am. So away it's gone and the queue's been tidied up a bit. Well, that's Ravelry tidied up. Now you can go find things and access them way easier than before. The same goes for the yarn stash. Ooh, now Cartwright has just found a clean away. Somebody pick her up. Right, Denny Knitter and Bio Biddy, you better get one arm each and pick her up. See, there's Kale Pack getting into it already. So the way I think about the yarn is this. Stuff you know what your pattern is going to be for and it goes together for one side. Stuff that you think will make a nice something else, but you've not yet sourced the pattern, goes to the other. Then there's a baby knit section for yarns of all sorts, including the hateful to some acrylic. Now believe me, from a mother of two who appreciates hand knitted, I liked the acrylic garments that can be thrown into the wash easily or by mistake. And it might outlast the last of the human race, but well, it has its place. For you who like to knit certain garments, such as socks or hats or shawls, you could split your stash accordingly and have your sock stash, your shawl stash. So what's left over? The stuff you don't know what to do with. Amory looks at me. No, I have no clue either. I want the yarn, but I don't know what for. Well, lovely Amory, we can do one of two things. We can go to the wonderful search facility in Ravelry or our pattern books and assign something to it. Print off the pattern ready and have it one of the many, many, many project bags you have. What? Is that not enough? Three bad cats. Not already? I have some more tartan bags in my shop. Now, it's ready. And you still have stuff over left over mail and money? Yep, me too. Look, Lisa Lynn doesn't. But how can this be? Well, listeners, she's organised and she has let some of the stash go to somewhere else. It's been handed on to the children or to the school or to the youth club or to the other ladies in your knit group or to your mum or on Ravelry to be traded or on eBay to be sold. I'm very envious of your organisation. I bet it feels really nice once you know it's done. And it's not talking just about the yarn. You could do this with your needles. You can hand them on. How many size 4s do you really need? I believe the yarn harlot had an entire drawer of DPNs at one point. So spread the love around. Did you do all the rest of your stash though, Lisa Lynn? Well, it's okay, I haven't either. So come on, Sarah Monte was wanting to help us out there too. She has the most wonderful way of storing her needles and notions. She's a designer, you know. They're organised that way. JC Hand wants to know about circular needle storage. Well, I saw a thing recently. It's a strip of leather 5 inches wide and 5 inches long, and it has a popper on it, so it creates a tube which you can clip around the cables and let the needles at the points hang free. Think of a luggage handle, the way that the second one clips onto the first one and gives you a nice handle to carry. Or Joy Lynn has a CD organiser case, and they fit in there nicely too. Lace Maven and Needs Yarn have been using old whiskey tubs and tubes for holding their long needles for ages now. They got them from me, it has to be said. And Acanthus has a lovely case that they gave her on the aeroplane for a wash kit. Chuck all that toothpaste out, you're never going to use it. But now they host her crochet hooks. Stacey W has a thing about tins, biscuit tins, sweetie tins, old bean tins, and she has her notions and threads in them too. It's carefully shelved and you can see her button box. Oh, it's amazing. I think she's been hunting the old charity shops, or her granny was the most wonderful crafter. Fenarda and Fema were wondering about rope spindles. Well, I've just the answer for that. You can either buy a lovely bag from them from Etsy, or you can drink whiskey and use the tubs. You might have to drink a fair few first before you find one that fits your spindle or all your spindles, but I think I might have achieved that. And Maddie, I still have that tub to send to you. I have not done it. It's not that I have forgotten. As for spinning wheels, put them out. Not outside. Put them into your house. Don't have them in their cases like mine is, where I don't use it. Put them out beside your spinning chair. Don't set yourself a big target. Just get your hands working again. Twinsit Ellen finally finished the camel and silk she was making nose hair out of, and I'm sure it's wonderful. But she then cleansed her palette with something short and snappy and completely opposite of what she'd been doing hours and weeks and months doing. This is a great tip. You fall back in love with your spinning. If you've got a smaller house and not much space, then take it out, have a shotty, put it back. And once you've started having a shotty and putting it back, you're more inclined to keep on having a shotty and then putting it back. And craft nights. We used to have craft nights, and then we stopped having craft nights. Then we had craft mornings. And we still have craft mornings, but we occasionally have craft nights. And this is not an organised thing particularly. This is just a few of us getting together over a cup of tea and some cake. Not always cake, depends on who's exercising at the time. And we just sit and somebody makes cards, somebody makes crocheting, somebody does letter writing, somebody does painting. It's just whatever you fancy doing. And it's a really, really good way of spreading information, having a bit of a blether, downloading if you feel you need to, and getting some crafting done and sharing the pain of having to unpick things. So you might have to unpick things if you knit on craft night, as we all know, unless you take something extremely sensible and simple to do. But organise the craft night. Set a night, say to everybody, can you do, say, the 8th of February, which is past, but that's when we had ours. Just a cup of coffee and a couple of hours, and it does you the world of good. So if that doesn't unleash your creative streak, then I think we will have to have words. Keep unleashing and use the things. Don't keep them for a rainy day, because it's raining today. Today is the day. What a better way to keep us warm than with cashmere. If you need a pee, stop and go, because it's time for the Daisy and Sandy giggle.
Hello
section. Heather Ordover's back. Count of Monte Cristo. Oh, I'm going to be on this for a while, but I'm quite enjoying it, and we're only 4 chapters in. A Sandy hello to new to me, being with me a while now and being with me forever listeners. I very much appreciate you tuning in, and I hope that you're enjoying yourselves. And hello to those that have come back. Very much appreciate that too. Sandy hello to new group members, Mungo Twit Ford, probably said that wrong, apologies, Shelley Bean, Tanya Marie, Mai's Mama, PJS and Stacel. Random hellos are to Knitting Mummy of Six, Yarn Salad, Susan Dolph, LP Star and Post Leslie.
What's the crack section?
What's the crack? If you're fans of the Outlander programme and you're missing it whilst the next series is being finished, because it's due out on April the 16th, I believe, some red dress she's wearing, then you head over to Subway Knits podcast, where Maria is having a Droughtlander. Read along and knit along. And she's going until start of series 2 in 2016. She has prizes, and one of those prizes is my Fraser Tartan project bag. So go listen to Subway Knits podcast as well. The Six Bits Storybook Eve magazine came out, and the patterns in it are just beautiful. Go no further than Mel's Six Bits Storybooks.
Runny, runny, runny.
Me, that's who. Runny. Oh, I've lost a week. We ran Betty Hill Trail Race on Sunday. I was broken until Wednesday after it. 500 metres climb, and then going down again, and then up the to the mast, around a bit, then down again, and then round a bit, the wind farm, then around a bit, and then stopping to let the altar cross in front of you. Oh, it was the best bit. It crossed the track, looked up at me and Buckle, and squeaked and scuttled as fast away as its older legs could carry it. And then back up some more through the frozen heather, where I fell over a few times, and then back to the start. Oh, it was a really hard 11 miles. I was near peeping by the end of it. I was that done. But Richard loved it. 4 days later, I'm chuffed I did it, but oh my. So, this weekend, 14 miles of slightly undulating loop around the estates at Lochmore, where the puddles are 4 feet across, easy. Although Richard's just come home and told me that the coach said 8 miles on Sunday. That feels like cheating. A huge thank you to the donations for my Click Sergeant fundraising for the forthcoming Inverness Half Marathon on the 13th of March. And Richard and I are running it in Hello Kitty dresses. And if you've not seen the picture yet, I do recommend you go and find it on my Instagram or Flickr page. Don't be eating anything at the time because you will spit food out. At the point of me writing this, I'm on £330.45, which is just brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. Thank you very, very, very much for your kindness and generosity. My cousin Lindsay is delighted and it gives her a lift and a boost to see us doing this. My wee cousin Ruby, so far, woohoo, had no side effects from dose 3 of chemo, which is wonderful. And we just take every day as it comes, so it's good. She even got out of hospital on the Friday, went to school and then to my other cousin's birthday party, and then back to hospital for 6 o'clock for the next part of the dose. My cousin Lindsay is also fundraising for Bloodwise, which is the charity that specialises in blood cancer. And this is the one that Nick from Yarns from the Plane is going to be taking part of my peak challenge for the month of May. Her friend and Fiona and Nick are committed to cover 100 miles each on foot during May, over and above any normal day-to-day mileage. Wow, this might be walking or even slow shuffling run. So you Sam Heughan fans will have heard of the My Peak Challenge, and this was his chosen charity and he's raised thousands for. So it's a very, very worthy cause. Thank you once again for your donations. Go Nick, I will donate to you. I'll get paid. I'll pay. And if you fancy doing this, I have a link to my Just Giving page. So how's your running going? Let me know your stories, good or bad. Are you feeling like you're achieving something? And on Strava, there is now a group for Ravelry runners, which you can join. And that's quite good. I like Strava. Competition. Thank you for entering the two competitions I held. The first one was for the e-book Whiskey in a Teacup by C.S. Bowers, and it was won by the wonderful Heather 01851, whom I have met in person on the Knitting Pipeline main retreat, and she's charming, and I wish we lived closer together because she's great. Thank you very much to C.S. Bower, and if you want to get your own copy at a very, very reasonable price, £2, go to Amazon and get it there. The winners of the Edinburgh Yarn Fest tickets were Bethy 40 and That Denise Girl, who were the only two entrants, so they got a ticket each, which seemed fair. I was just wondering why you guys didn't apply. Is it because you have tickets for entry that goes with your workshop, or did you already buy your tickets in advance? However, I hope to meet you all there. I know there's more than two of you listening. I will be there from lunchtime Friday, and my slot, the podcaster lounges, Friday 3 o'clock, and then again on the Saturday 3 o'clock, and the Friday one I'm going to be doing take something, leave with something slot. I've got a whole blather written out for this one. And this is where I'm going to request you come with something, which will be at the very least a good attitude, and at the very most, see a knitted hat for a premature baby, which I will then gather and send into the Rigmore Hospital neonatal department. I want you to leave with some new knitting friends. So, expect to be introduced to each other. And I thought we could have the official show and tell of what you purchase as you have made at the show. Or what we are wearing. So this would be a terrible thing for those that have spent all our money. But the thing I love about meeting and sitting at the shows is the fact that you see things that other people buy. And it's not rude to ask, what have you bought? And what are you going to make with it? And this often leads to a scuttling of knitterly feet in the direction that it was brought from. And it means that we will then increase our knowledge of what's for sale at the show and what garments actually look like when they're knitted or crocheted up. I'm not expecting you to stand up in front of anyone and talk, but if you want to, you can. But I would like it if you would be happy for me to talk about what you're wearing. And because I know some people don't like standing up in public. I've got no problem with it, as long as you're quiet in the background. Plus, I'd like you to meet each other as friends of the show, and you can make friends with who you can then chum about with future shows or ping back and forward on Ravelry. Because if you just go to yourself at the show, it can be quite lonely. And even though you are speaking to people, it would be nice to increase our knitting community. I'm also making up crafty bingo sheets for you to do when you're about the show. So you can come and get them from the Podcaster Lounge on the Friday morning. For instance, there were undoubtedly some Scully cardigans, some Ishbel Shoals, Colour of Affection, Pebble Beaches, so you get to tick them off on the bingo card. This is a great way to get to talking to fellow knitters, as most of us don't bite. If you admire something someone is wearing, you will have permission in your hand to say, "Excuse me, I love this. Did you make it? What is it?" There's a knitting bingo sheet going on and I was looking for this garment, so thank you. Now, experience tells me two things here. One is, they will look at you with great scorn and have no clue what you're talking about. But they will politely answer your question and move on very quickly from the scary lady or scary man. Those, thankfully, are very few in number, but they are there. But the other, now we love these kindred spirits, these ones will answer you in great detail, take you to the place you can buy the yarn in its natural unknitted element, tell you how it was cast on, how long it took, how many other people have made it since last Tuesday. Then you've got made a knitty pal and hooray, my job is done. Bingo! House. I can also exclusively reveal that there is going to be a photo booth at Edinburgh this year again, but instead of the static booth with the wee manny outside waiting to hand you the ticket, the EYF photographers will be taking the shots. So it'll be a nice wee souvenir of the weekend. That's good because I missed it last year.
The review section.
Review section. Do you remember me telling you all to stalk the wonderful Katja Frankel, because she's hosting her first Anything Goes Knit along 20th of February to 30th of March, and knitters can choose the design of Katja's to participate. She has socks, shawls, hats, mitts, cowls, jumpers, cardigans, garments for young and old, both boys and girls. And so there is something for all shapes, sizes and gender. Except possibly the men's jumpers. But they've got socks and hats, so they are mostly catered for. But she's got a million stuff in there. To further tent, there is a 20% discount on all her self-published patterns from the 8th to the 29th of February with the code ANYTHINGGOESCAL. And there are over 80 designs to choose from. Millions. Hunters and hunters. Which I think is pretty generous, and I'm lucky to review the Jagger and the Side Reel shawls here and now. I first heard about the Jagger shawl when my Cagney to my Lacey said it was going to be her Boxing Day cast on, before she went sideways and got a spinny wheel for Christmas, but she has since cast it on. I looked at it and thought, oh, I like that. Now, everybody sing moves like Jagger. Do your groovy Mick Jagger moves. Yep. Yep. Oh, hey. That knees girl. Look at her rock. Okay. Right, Jagger begins with the gauzy border adorned with large diamonds from which the stitches are picked up from the centre section of the shawlette. The stocking stitch centre lends the mesh border a little stability, simultaneously creating the perfectly arching ribbon shape. The centre part is knitted from the border towards the neck, which means that the rows diminish in length as you knit on. Get in! The mesh edging pattern is both written out row by row and charted for your convenience. This uses 4-ply sock weight, and Katja used an Ancient Arts Yarns Superwash Blue-Faced Leicester of 400 metres, which I think is a great stash buster project for us. This, I think, lends itself to a solid colour with only slight flecks in it, and I also think something with drape. Although, I then found on the internet that Olive Soil 59 had a photo up using variegated yarn, which was quite striking. So one of each, perhaps. Or if you're going really Mick Jagger, I would paint it black. Which is my favourite Rolling Stones track. It's quite a long shawl from end to end, and you cast upwards of 300 stitches to start, but you are then decreasing as you go, so I like this idea too. I don't think I've made one of those before, where you decrease as you go. You will therefore need a 60cm long circular needle. Yes, that's the long one that I last saw on my pie shelf. So this is your chance! Long circular needle for getting out the stash and being used! Hooray for using the stash! So I really like this shawl. And the next one, which is sidereal. And it's knitted in one piece from the top down. It's a triangular shawl, and tiny diamonds grow symmetrically off the spine of the shawl on the mesh ground. The main body is framed with a wide band of garter that beautifully offsets the negative space and highlights its delicate gauzy fabric. The shawl is knitted in 3-ply fingering weight yarn and an excellent stitch definition in a semi-solid cobalt blue, and it reminds her of a starry night sky. She's also used ancient art yarns again, and this is a superwash merino with the cobalt blue that we're talking 340 metres. I suggest you use something that has lustre in it to give it that hanging drape weight effect. I pondered about something light and airy such as a Kid Silk Haze or my Tilly Thomas symphony yarn, but I think it would lose its pattern detail in the fuzzy. So a nice rounded BFL with a drop of silk in it or a high twisted merino, just your ticket. I've got a periwinkle blue yarn upstairs which would be perfect for this. And again, the pattern has written row by row and charged, which I think adds value to your pattern. I personally can work from both, but if I'm on the chart, like I'm on the crab, then if I'm not feeling the love, I can refer back to the written pattern and see if I am indeed on the crab. That's Deadly Catch, by the way, just in case you wondered what I'm bleating on about now. This has got loads of yarn overs to create the mesh-like pattern, and it really appeals to the lace knitter in me. There are only 3 pages of the pattern, which I like as well for ease of printing of things, and also thinking, it's not going to take all year, I can do this. So, you can go sign up for the CAL now, knitalog, and there are prizes, and then there's the all-important hashtag of hashtag AnythingGoesCAL. And I really want to do some tap dancing go. Anything goes. In olden days, a glimpse of stocking wasn't looked on as something shocking, but now God knows, anything goes. We'll do a bit more tap dancing. Shuffle ball change. Oh, hold on. Uncal. Well, this might be a bit of a spoon thing to do, but this was talked about a long time ago, and Jan and I have finally kind of pulled our fingers out. She mentioned it in her own podcast a couple of episodes back, and then Katya came up with her Cal, and now I'm in a quandary, because when I was in America and being driven like Lady Penelope up the East Coast by the amazing, wonderful Twin Set Jan, I happened to lament the amount of Cals that were ongoing at the time. This was at the time. And I was failing miserably at keeping up with any of them, if at all. I then said, stuff it, I'm going to have an uncal cal. Instead, to which she laughed at Twin Set Jan laugh and said, okay, let's do it. So finally we are. So we have Division 1, Old Whips. Find, admire, photograph and post a picture of the Old Whips thread in one of the 2 Ravelry forums of a whip that has been forgotten, pushed aside by a new knitting love. Another love. That's Tomadale, isn't it? Reacquaint yourself with the whip and find a place of honour in which it will now have to sit until June the 1st. On June the 1st, 2016, we'll ask you to take another picture of that whip, with proof that the date shown that you have not worked on it at all. All entries meeting these 2 requirements will be entered into a draw for some great prizes. Whips must be considered abandoned in your own mind, regardless of how old they are. The division will have a second phase. If you then complete that whip by September 1st, you are entered into a second drawing for even more luscious bounty. I can tell I didn't write that. That's a good word, luscious. Division 2, new whips. Everyone else is doing Paula, Steam West, Kate Davis, Natural Project Cal, Mystery One. You don't want to do them just now, but you really want to do this unicorn project you've had in your queue for ages. This Cal gives you permission to turn your back on the crowd doing the popular kids' Cals. Get the unicorn made. Get started. Get finished by June the 1st. Post in the appropriate thread on one of our Ravelry forums, and if you finish, you will be entered to the drawing for the great prizes. Division 3. Really an on-cal. Between now and June the 1st, frog a project that you once thought you loved but you now can't stand. Show us a picture pre and post frog in the appropriate threads for the Ravelry forums before June the 1st, and you will be entered to the drawings too. loads of prizes. There will be prizes of many things from shop, my shop, and other things too. Notice I'm not telling you what they are, because we haven't actually figured that out yet. So you can sign up at Twinsight Designs Forum and my own forum, and let's uncal that cow. That is, oh, hello, Boopo. After you've brought all Katja Frankel's patterns to Cal along with her, of course. I'm sure you've plenty of other things going on in your stash. I think my hooligan might contain, but I don't want Nop to finish it for their treat. Bah!
Coming up, it's there.
Coming up. As mentioned before, the Edinburgh Yarn Fest is happening on the 17th to 19th of March 2016. 17th just being for workshops, Friday, Saturday for Marketplace as well. And of course I am going to this with Mum. Louise Scully organising the podcast area and meetups and just doing as I'm told. So there'll be a few of us there, and I'll be there from Friday lunchtime, and we're staying in the Edinburgh Park Novotel if any of you are going to stay there. There is a new kid on the block when it comes to events. This is to be the Loch Ness Knit Fest on September the 29th to October the 2nd, 2016, in and around Inverness. This is inspired by the Danish Strike Festival, and with the blessing of its organiser, Crystal Seyfarth, and we'll have workshops, lectures, two fashion shows, vendor fairs, and a knitting cruise down Loch Ness, which sounds awesome, and lots of knitting wonderfulness in venues in and around Inverness, Loch Ness, and Culloden. They're also having a crack at the world record for the most knitted Nessies in one place on Doris Beach, Loch Ness, where they need your help to knit the Nessie, which I have to say are very, very cute. Full details of that part are via the website, which is www.lochnessknitfest.com. And it's quite professionally run by Event Scotland, Visit Inverness, Plant Scotland and the Highland Council. I was aware of the fest when it launched a wee while ago, and then last week was sent an email from Claire of NH Knits Podcast, who's an expat from hailing from Scotland and is involved in attracting new wonderful knitters to Inverness. So if you've not signed up for my retreat and thought, I have some money lying around and needing to get used up, Inverness for this weekend and do all things Outlander and knitty all at the same time. I suggest you stay at the Kingsmill Hotel because that's my favourite. I'll kip in with you if you want. See, that gets me out doing the Cracky Island Triathlon that weekend. I'm actually in a quandary about what to do that weekend. I'll let you know. Retreat. As I write this, I have 12 people for the retreat. Oh, I'm so excited and relieved. Well, I'll be more relieved once it's all paid up. So please carry on chatting in the thread, working out logistics, sharing lifts, and the food that we're going to do. And like I say, just because we did it one way last year doesn't mean that's what we have to do this year. Let's improve. I will send out a message this weekend regarding payment, and then my work begins in sorting out the workshops and the goodie bags in earnest. Poor Ernest. Does anybody know anybody called Ernest anymore? This is a call for Ernest. I have a couple of ideas and I'm quite looking forward to doing this. Well, about 1,000 I'll need to whittle down. I'll go radio silence on what I'm making for the goodie bags, although after they're given out I will tell you, and then I'll keep a few back to sell in the shop afterwards for those that really want to come but can't because you've got weddings on or having a child or something dramatic like that, because that's the only excuse I'm accepting. If any of you listeners want to offer an item or pattern for the goodie bags or raffle prize, then I would be delighted to accept. And it's very kind of you, because we've actually got 2 offers already, and that's stupendous. Thank you. I still can't promise real puffins, but I can promise toy ones in the cafe shop. They were there.
The beaker section. Me,
me, me, me section. Do you want to build a snowman? Well, I finished Olaf, so there should be no more snow. You might hear the rain has started. Get the cashmere out. Although I saw a couple of lambs outside last week, so cue snow. There is still snow up top of Cairngorm Ski Resort, where we were on Tuesday, but So was the rest of the skiing world community. So we didn't actually bother queuing for hire equipment or lift tickets in the end. But what we did was we took the sledges up the side of the hill, walked up at the D Lodge, and we had a great couple of hours sledging. Richard managed to get a little tiny bit of boarding in, but I decided to not bother taking my skis up. And it was the best we could do for the day for the bairns. They loved it because it's their first proper time on that kind of snow since it proper snowed in 2010. And they can't remember that. So, snow paradise for them. Can you imagine? Bairns in snow. It's like pigs in space from Muppets. So Olaf, sorry, that's why we're here, isn't it? He's brilliant when he's finished. He didn't take that long to make, to be honest. And he's made in bits. And you then sew them together at the end, and it, well, that took quite 3 hours, I'd say, in between sewing him, stuffing him, the way that Susan B. Anderson suggests, using her toy-making techniques I picked up from her workshop. It all came back to me. His arms were like Edward Scissorhands, with all the ends. And you make them using I-cord, and then you thread the ends down the middle of the I-cord to meet them up. Which I thought was quite clever because it gave them a bit more thickness to the arm and it got it out of the way neatly. I also went with the needle and thread sewing of the googly eyes on, which was very awkward, but it looked good. Olaf needs googly eyes. If you were doing this for a younger bairn, I would be very careful and sturdily embroider the eyes on. And I had fun embroidering his eyebrows, and I had photos of me doing this with Olaf looking dastardly Olaf, and then with his messy hair Olaf, because you take strands through and then you plait them, which turned out pretty cool too. He's been played with a fair bit and most of the sewing is staying together, thankfully, and he's very off-white now as he goes back and forward to school in the side pocket of Daisy's school bag, and I just don't want to know where he gets left. I don't feel I need to make another one, but I would recommend the pattern to you Olaf fans out there from Let's Knit December 2015 magazine, which you can buy over the internet, but you just get the pattern rather than the kit now. So I would recommend Olaf. I'm not really getting far on the socks for Sandy using West Yorkshire Spinner Socks yarn in Holly Berry and Cherry colours, which was bought from the rather wonderful Brit Yarns Wonderful Service. Oh, what wonderful toys there. They are glaring at me the now and giving me dirty looks. I'm about to start the back of the heel, so I don't actually have too much to go. It's the counting that's been putting me off. And I finished a hat for Richard with the Buffalo Wool Company Bison Double Knit that was sent by the very, very lovely Silver Spring Knit. So thank you very much, Nora. Very generous of you. I'm actually wearing it just now. And I used the Farm Beanie by Alison Britt pattern. Can you remember I wasn't happy with the cast-on edge because I thought it was a bit frilly and flouncy? Well, yes. It didn't block out nicely at all, so I decided, on the podcast, last episode, to undo the cast-on edge. 120 stitches of pull the yarn one way, through a knot, then the next way, then out the stitch, catching the bottom stitch, then out again, in the next stitch, and repeat. Never, ever do this if you don't have to. Never. No, don't. Never do this on any more stitches than 10. I was on doing this for over a week, off and on. 120 stitches. And then, it took me about 45 minutes to get the smaller needles and cast off and sew in the end. I actually spent more time looking for the smaller needles as stupid me was looking for my clover bamboo sized 4mm DPNs. And I was eventually going to use the longer bamboo from China on eBay for stupid money DPNs. And then I found that I had the clover ones in the actual hat itself. Back to the needle case and find the size 3.75 longer bamboo from China from eBay stupid money DPNs, which were perfectly fine and did the job wonderfully. So everything's back in its case now. There were DPNs everywhere. The yarn itself, whilst is a two-ply and quite crisp to work with, is sturdy as anything, and it withstood my unpicking it really, really well. I couldn't have gotten a better yarn for doing that. It's softer when knitted up, and softer again when it's washed, and he is using it, albeit I'm wearing it today, but that's because he cycled to work. It's a bonny dark green, and I thought about, if you wanted to buy some of this for a jumper at the Edinburgh Yarn Fest, wouldn't it be wonderful? I say you. I can see Richard wearing it, although it might be a bit pricey for that. And it would take me quite a long time to knit him in a jumper anything less than fleece weight. And by fleece, I mean just take it off the sheep and throw it round his shoulders. But it was an idea. It's warm and soft when knitted, and he says that the hat is against his skin isn't itchy, which is what I was worried about with it being quite a sturdy yarn. And it's bison that the yarn is. The pattern's pretty good too. It's a free pattern via Ravelry, and I made the small adult size, and it has from baby right up to large adult size. And even then, the small adult size is just a little bit bigger, but not fly off the head, which maybe would have been a good idea if it was a couple of centimetres smaller. That's where the swatch would come in, but I didn't do it, so I can't complain or say anything. You know, you're going to listen to more silence. I'm just going to tell you, this is a do-as-I-suggest thing, not as-I-do-as-I-do thing. It is a rib all the way up pattern and changes halfway up to the crown. Instead of a purl, you slip a stitch, and it gives a kind of negative look to the previous rib. Upstairs in my stash, I have some Icelandic yarn in a pink and a purple, which would be good for this pattern, because the one on the pattern page used two colours, changing the colour when you get to the crown rib part. Plus, it's reasonably quick to knit up. Although, I really want a woolly worm hide hat knit next. I want more time. That's what I want. When do I want it? Now! So, to counteract the finishing of two projects, I am making a crocheted narwhal. What is a narwhal, one asks? Well?
Narwhals, narwhals, swimming in the ocean, causing a commotion because it's so awesome. Narwhals, narwhals, the unicorn of the seas, fitter than bees, but they don't land freeze because they're bitter land. Awesome!
It is the unicorn of the sea. It's a whale that lives in the northern ocean and has a tusk that looks like unicorns that come out of its top lip. Daisy's doing polar regions project with her animal as a narwhal. So we found out lots of fun facts, such as most of the narwhals live under the sea ice in Baffin Bay, Davis Strait, obviously coming up to breathe every so often. They can dive up to 1,500 metres in 25 minutes, which is amazing to me. Amazing. 1,500 metres is pretty darn deep. They can have one tusk, none tusks, two tusks. Daisy wants to make a model, do a PowerPoint presentation and crochet a narwhal for this project. However, as the pattern is in the round and she can't crochet at all, I said I would make it, but she had to try and crochet and help stuff it and sew it together. So, and also say that she didn't make it all together. However, she did make the modelling clay narwhals, which have kebab sticks for tusks and are painted blue, but the tusks have got white and glitter on them. And she made a sea part, which was painted blue, and had icebergs, which was painted white and glitter. But whilst it was drying, not paint thankfully, I looked down and see Quattro eating the iceberg. I put it up on the mantelpiece to dry, and forgetting about Sandy's model X-Wing on the other side of the fire, he made out the other part of the modelling clay. And it was found in Quattro's bed at 4:30 in the morning. And we blame Buchel for it. He had the serious guilty look. Quattro couldn't hear less at that point. So, it's okay, but be aware of dogs eating modelling clay, because I'm sure it can't be good for them. There were no ill effects. The pattern Daisy chose was an anagrammy narwhal by Yarn Yard, and I'm halfway through its head. I'm using Stash light blue double knit acrylic, and then I had to find the safety eyes, which I bought from Hobbycraft ages ago. And they were in the place I'd left them, which was wonderful. Hooray for organisation. So I decanted them from their little bag into a Tic Tac container, as I bought a big packet of Tic Tacs specifically so I could use the container for Little Notions, aka what Giffnet girl Ella does, and especially if you're on a plane, it's perfectly small and you can get loads in it. Although I'm sitting looking at it and I really, really want a Tic Tac sweetie now. I need to crochet a little bit more because I'm on the decreasing before I place the eyes properly and stuff it and sew the body together. Yarn Yard has her eyes made out of black and white felt, which is very cute, but she glued hers on and I don't like gluing onto wool. It just makes my skin crawl. No! And the item I've decided to make for the Edinburgh Yarn Fest is the Wild Goose Cholette by Paula Emmons Feasley of Knitting Pipeline fame. She's going to be at the fest, so I thought it'd be nice, and I'm also using Posh Yarns Kirsten Sock, which is a superwash merino and a beautiful rich plummy purple with navy blue flecks in it that very lovely Helen HFG named Cagney to my lathy, and she sent one to Louise Scully and one to myself, and I've been keeping it for good. So I unleashed the stash and it's fast becoming a shawlette. I can't tell you how happy that makes me. I'm on row 53, which is 20% of the shawl. I better get cracking because we've only got a month to go. Paula has it in a row-by-row percentage style, which Helen Stewart uses on her patterns. And I have to say that I like it in one way and not in another. That I don't like it because I have to print it off and it's 5 pages, not counting the front cover. But I do love it because you feel like you see progress when it's written down. So one cancels out the other, so I'm ambivalent about it. The yarn's lovely and it's dyed so deeply and the colours just sing out to me. I'm in knitting heaven. I'm using a Knit Pro Basics 4mm 80cm long circular needle, which is sharp enough, but it's that metally type and it can sometimes scrape and I don't really like that noise. Also, it's mostly garter stitch on now, and I have to be careful because I'm just knitting away and not looking, so I have to be careful I'm not splitting the yarn. But these are just niggles. In fact, not even niggles, they're just nizz. And it's just something to say that's podcast fodder for you that know that I'm not living in perfect schmurfit land. Long-time listeners are well aware of that. I have another project sitting waiting, but I've not got there. No, it's not the Elegant Cardigan by Kate Davis. It's a knitted toothless dragon from How to Train Your Dragon. And this is by Nicole's Nerdy Knots, which is hundreds of pages long. But I've not started it. And I moved it out the kitchen yesterday, my double-digit 10-year-old Sandy, through a strop. You can see his birthday the other day. Double digits. Until I pointed out that the socks sitting in the bag beside it were for him. Didn't tell him I hadn't really knitted on them much recently, but yeah, I'm sure he'll soon realise he's clever that way. In the library corner, I've not finished Guy Martin's second book, When You Dead, You Dead, but it's quite good, although I'm not so keen on his attitude towards females sometimes. He's a bit Marmite, I think. And I've read up to book 6 of the Poldark series by Winston Graham, and very much enjoyed them. On to the collective. The textile artists as a group were going to go and see the Great Tapestry of Scotland in Inverness Museum a couple of Tuesdays ago, but we were thwarted by Henry the Winter Storm, the rotter. The ladies were all on the bus and I was in the car with Mum because I had to take the dogs, but when we got to Helmsdale there was a landslide and they had shut the road for over 3 hours, and whilst I could go up and along and down past it, the bus couldn't because the back roads aren't suitable. So the poor ladies wait for an hour and a half in the cold before they then phone for husbands to come and retrieve them, because they thought by the time they got to Inverness they would go to the thing and have to turn around and get the bus home. I was gutted for them and myself, because whilst Mother and I had a lovely brunch in Marks and Spencer's, which I love to recommend their cheese toasties and their tomato sauce, they had a coffee in Helmsdale in a very cold time and headed home. And it rained from the moment I was out the door until the moment I got home at 6:30 at night. Big size. However, the tapestry was wonderful. They didn't have all the panels which we knew about, because there are about 170 in total, but they had about 60. And of course, our Caithness schoolroom 1851 was there and looking like the moment that we left it. I got chatting to a lovely lady from Orkney and we had a good blither. And she really understood the work that went into it all and enjoyed hearing the background. As I know a fair bit about the background of the project, I could sense people listening to me explain to my mum and her about our panel and the other ones which were there, and it was kind of a bit weird but nice. Obviously not allowed to touch it, but I really wanted to give it a hug and say goodbye again. The last day in Inverness Museum is the 20th of February, which is tomorrow. But if you are in about the Dundee area, it will be partially exhibiting from the 19th of March to the 1st of May in the High Mill Verdant Works at Dundee, and the general entry is £9 and concessions are £7, and it's open Monday to Saturday 10 to 6 and Sunday 11 to 6. It's actually the first time I've seen it being for an entry to get into, but you're paying to get into the Verdant Works, so I assume that you go round it as a museum gallery too. I was really sad that the other Stitchers didn't get to see it because Joan had never seen it since we sent it off. She might have got down a separate time, but it would have been so good to go down and see it together as a group. But the road was shut. That's the way it is. I was out sewing yesterday and I finished the top of my quilt quilt. I have enough bits left over to make the cushion part for the back of it, but I'm going to have to cut and paste and possibly do some crazy quilting embroidery over it. However, I don't actually have enough left over for the binding of it. So, I will need to go to a shop. Oh dear. Mind you, we spent a bit too much this month, so I'm waiting for payday before I do that. It's got a mottled black in it, which I think I should be able to get locally easily enough. Because I can't remember where I got any of the fabric from, other than I was sent bits of it from the lovely gingerbread bunny. The piece of the material I have for the back is a turquoisey green with navy paisley pattern all over, but it's not quite the right size, so I have to cut a bit off the side and sew it to the bottom. All things I'm going to do on another day. This Saturday is going to be a disappearing nine-patch workshop run by our own Ella, who is great at workshops. Sewing days have been spent with everyone taking in the materials and using the Aquacut quilter. Oh, you've not heard of one of these then? Well, have you heard of a cuttlebug or a sizzix for paper? Well, this is the quilting version. It's a die cutter where you have plates with sharp blades set in sponge. You put your material on top of the blades, which are shaped of different various sizes, and then you make it into a sandwich with a plastic plate on top. You put it through a mangle by turning a very easy to turn handle. The rollers push down along the blades, which cuts into your material out perfectly. Caithness Quilters bought the machine last year and it's slowly gaining in popularity within the group. Marina is Queen Aqua Quilter as she's quite new to quilting like myself, and she, like me, likes the preciseness of the cutting. If you want a 5-inch square, you get a precisely 5-inch square each and every time. The group has a few of the dies which can be expensive, but if you're buying as a sewing group and you decide which ones will be used the most, then it is good value for you. We have straight lines which we use for 2.5-inch strips of binding, or if you leave the strips at an angle which is drawn on the board for you, can make diamonds or squares. We also have a flower and squares and a couple of others that I've not seen used as yet. There is a bit of wastage, it has to be said, but if you're making a quilt, say of the 5-inch squares for the disappearing 9-patch, you can get your 48 squares cut really, really quickly. And you know that they're going to be precise, which makes precise corners and edges. They've been selling them and a smaller version on Crate and Craft this week. I made the parents watch it last night, much to their disgust. But then Daisy got into it now and the shopping channel sold me. And I was really wanting the baby one for the house, but thank goodness it was sold out. I see the benefits of it and also some of the downsides. But if you're in two minds and you know about them and you have the money or the group has the money, go for it. I recommend them. Drams. On to the drams this episode. If you're not into the drinking or the shopping, then thank you for listening. I'll catch you next episode because there's only shopping and blah 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 stuff after it. If you're into the drinking, stay tuned. This episode sees Richard and I drink a Kilchoman Macher Bay single malt whiskey.
We're drumming. We hope you like drumming.
I thought you were going to do the different song.
Oh, no. Can't remember it. Forgotten the words.
What, we're drumming?
We're drumming.
What did the song go again?
I feel like drumming. Drumming. Do do be do be do be do 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 drumming. Just drumming. I can't remember the rest of the words.
Okay, listeners, I think we'll start.
That's enough.
Welcome into this episode of The Drams.
Give it a hoot.
And this episode we are drinking a, how do you say it?
Kilchoman.
Macher Bay malt whisky. And pass me the box.
There you go.
Thank you.
very sturdy, robust box it is too.
It is. It's got a really dark navy blue. It's got a map of Scotland in very dark blue with Isla in gold. Did you notice?
Yes.
Because that's where it's from. And it's Kilhoman.
Macherbay.
Isla's farm distillery, Isla single malt Scotch whisky, non-chill filtered, natural colour, uniquely Isla. Distilled mature Bolton Kilhoman Distillery, established 2005.
Oh, got a new one
then. Yes.
I think it's one of the smaller ones, isn't it?
Yes. A 700 millilitre bottle, 46% alcohol per volume. Established 2005, Kilhoman, pronounced Kilhoman, is one of the smallest distilleries in Scotland. Based on a farm in the rugged west coast of Islay, Kilhoman was the first distillery to be built in Ireland for 125 years. Kilhoman displays all that is great about grassroots tradition of Scotch whisky distilling, and truly is Islay's farm distillery, from barley to bottle. Macherbay, located half a mile from the distillery, is one of the most beautiful beaches on Islay, and is the name given to our core expression. It's a vatting of ex-bourbon and sherry casks. We'll do the colour, the nose, the palate, the finish later. So, a product of Scotland. We've actually done a Kilhoman before.
I wasn't aware of this. Was it the Macherbay?
No, it wasn't this one. I've not done this one.
There are other ones.
Yes, it was one with the red box. This is the blue box. And it's a kind of short, stubby kind of box because it's a short, stubby kind of bottle. And it's got a really lovely embossed logo, because remember the logo as well. Kind of a Celtic-y type of thing, in gold on the bridge of the bottle. So a lovely stubby neck to the
sturdy
bottle.
Stubby.
Yeah, that too. Cork as well. And the label is in a bonny royal blue and gold, and then there's a wee bit of cream on the label.
And the font kind of goes, the H is kind of Celtic.
Irish type of Kales. Oh, and on the bottom, the very bottom of the bottle, the base, it says Isla's Farm Distillery embossed in the glass. So they've gone to town on this. Please drink responsibly.
Well, it's just as well, because it is a school night.
Well, it will be. It's got the pretty much the same information, and it's got the tasting notes on that, so we'll come to that in a second. Have you been doing research, Richard?
A little bit. We've had it a while.
Oh, I'd say there was about 2 inches left in this bowl. So, what's the colour left there?
It was very see-through. Oh, sorry, in the bottom.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's very pale.
Barbie?
Definitely.
Mm-hmm. I would agree. Very, very Barbie.
A sun-kissed Barbie.
Absolutely sun-kissed. She's been away for some winter sun. Mm-hmm. She's been skiing.
Possibly.
Right, cork, would you like to... D-cork? Yep.
Ooh.
Lovely deep sound there, because you can tell how much has been taken out of the bottle.
Oh, it tastes like that.
Oh, I'm running along the Macherbay. That is just divine.
It's lovely, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. That's why there's not much left.
Yes. Listeners, you're in for a treat. We love this bottle of whiskey.
We do, but it's very Marmite, according to the reviews on certain people.
I don't see how
don't
it
think people that don't like peat or smoke
oh.
won't like.
Well, that's good, because you know what that means.
More for us.
More for us and you listeners. Right, so we poured some and in the glass, the colour.
Yeah, it's definitely just Barbie.
The same, very, very
I think she needs more iron in her diet. It's very pale.
Yes. The other Kilhoman, they've got deeper colours in them, on the bottles. Right. He's got the website up on his computer, so we can see there's four. We've had the single cask, which is in the red one. There's port cask, matured, original cask strength, and Madura cask, matured. I want to try them all. Now, where did we get this, and how much was it?
We got this from Mackay's
in
Thurso. The Greek, the grocers,
mm-hmm.
and it was £53.
Mm-hmm.
Which is more than we'd normally spend, but yes. I cashed in all my toil, which is time off in lieu. So I had a wee bit extra cash to pay for Christmas for all the extra hours I worked over the last few months.
Mm-hmm.
So I saved them up, rather take them off in lieu. I can cash them in after 6 weeks.
Oh, lovely. Well, all that hard work certainly tastes very nice now.
Mm. Well, it makes it worthwhile, doesn't it?
Absolutely.
Yes. Okay, so.
So we have the wee smell and a... Oh, it's peaty. Oh, that's just gorgeous.
Mm.
I like a peaty, smoky malt. And this is...
Sweet.
Mm-hmm. Although it kind of disappears after you've sniffed it for a little while.
I get kind of treacly kind of smell.
Treacle?
Mm-hmm.
No, my nose has stopped working now. As it comes down the glass, it's got big legs. So that means it's a proper malty malt. I read that somewhere.
A proper malty malt.
Yeah, I don't think that's how they describe it.
How much water would you like to?
How much does it need again?
A good wee splash.
Okay.
But that's just my own personal. I like a good splash.
Mm-hmm.
There you go. That's more enough for you.
Thank you.
And I'll have about a bit more than I'd usually take in a cooking whiskey.
Mm-hmm. It's going...
Especially as it's so strong.
What do you call that when the water goes into it and makes that funny kind of...
Oh, it's got a word.
Because it's non-chill filtered, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Aye,
mm-hmm.
And that, when you add water to it, it makes it look a bit...
Yeah, there's a word I'm trying to think. I can't remember what the word is.
I don't know. I'm asking you.
No, I can't remember. Right.
Well, when you add the water to it, it kind of has a funny effect to it because it's non-chill filtered. If I can remember the word, I'd tell you.
Sounds fat.
Sounds fat. So who are we toasting tonight?
Well, I am going to toast the former British Army officer who was a Lieutenant Colonel and the explorer Henry Worsley, who died attempting the Antarctic crossing to emulate the Shackleton, the explorer Shackleton.
Mm-hmm.
It must have been a good 100 plus years ago. I'll tell you in a second because I've been doing research.
Mm-hmm.
And he sadly got to within a very, I think less than 100 miles from where he was trying to get to, but he's basically laying down with infections. And they thought he was like malnourished and dehydrated and out of energy, out of juice really. Mm. But when they rescued him, it transpired he had serious infections in his internal organs. They took him to a hospital on one of the bases, then out to Chile, but he died. So
sad.
And it's quite sad because he, when he knew he was really sick, he did a recording on his log, and it's just heart-renderingly sad because he knows he's gubbed.
Mm.
And he was doing it for raising money for veterans, and I just that sort of spirit of being an explorer and facing your challenges and getting on with it and just going for it.
Mm.
And I kind of admire it and trying to a smaller, lesser extent, try and have my own little challenges.
Mm.
Obviously not to the same degree as that. But it's sad, but also I find it also inspirational that people still do that kind of stuff.
Yeah,
and are still willing to push the limits and endeavours to try it. So, here we go.
Well, I couldn't think of a finer malt to toast on. Mm-hmm. Here's to you, Henry. Yeah.
Right. So I haven't tasted this yet. Hold on.
Taste it.
I'm saving it. I'm smelling it. I can't go over it. It smells so beautiful.
Mm. It's a little bit burning in the front of the tongue, but it just rolls down the back of your throat. Doesn't burn there.
Just
probably because it's quite a lot of alcohol.
Just like bang flavours.
Yeah.
And it's trying to pick them all out, and they're mm-hmm. quite. And it comes out with all these fancy flavours, but I get a kind of sharp, zesty, there's also smoke and peat, kind of citrusy flavours. It's not like the sort of Speyside, which are more creamy and subtle.
Mm-hmm. Right.
This is more just bang.
This is kick you in the head whiskey.
But in a good way.
But really tasty. Mm. Right, the colour is beech, which is to you and me, Barbie here.
Nose. Now, is that a beech tree or a beech in the sea?
Oh, I don't know. It could. No, it's spelled B-E-E-C-H.
Oh, right.
So it must be a beech tree.
Yeah.
But it could easily be...
Well, it could be a view of the beach.
Mm. Right, the nose is lemon with citrus and a sweet smoky aroma. I'd agree.
Yeah,
you,
definitely.
You picked up citrus. The palate is vanilla and butterscotch with an intense, sweet, peaty aftertaste.
Yeah.
I would agree with that completely.
I'm not so much into the butterscotch, but by the way, we haven't read these yet, these tasting notes.
No.
So.
Mm. Sorry, I've just done some more because I'm greedy that way.
Oh, well done. Don't be greedy on your
signature Kilchoman with a long, lingering finish. I would agree with that too. Mm-hmm. You feel like you're breathing peat for a while.
No, it just takes me from this table here in Caithness,
mm-hmm.
and I could be sitting on Isla having a dram.
Yeah.
Isla's a beautiful place. We've been there plenty of times.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just that it's a beautiful wee island. Well, big island, I suppose.
Mm-hmm. There's quite a few distilleries there. You can fly there from Glasgow and you can get there ferries. There's two ferries there. Well, one in the summer, two in the summer, one in the winter.
You go from Oban or you go from Kinnecraig,
mm-hmm.
which is, well, it must be a 40 miles south of Oban.
Wonderful place. Really friendly people.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Really nice places to
and
stay.
Great whiskey.
Great whiskey. Loads of birds. And I speak to a lady, Susan Campbell, who writes for the Eilidh, who lives in Isla. And she spins and sells her own yarn. And she posted something from the Eilidh the other day saying that in 1923 it rained in Isla for 89 days. Now,
it was a dry year then.
Isla's got the record for the longest amount of days that it has rained. And the guy wrote, since the 26th of November last year, it has rained every single day. And he wrote that on the 1st of February, it has rained since. So I think they've beaten it. I think that's why it is.
It's not a record to be proud of or want to be.
No.
Because it's been a pretty wet start to the year.
It hasn't.
End to the last year and start to this year.
So it was an interesting thing to see.
It's a very interesting thing to say, yes.
So who are you inviting for your dram? Or was that your Henry dude?
Yeah, well, yeah. Henry Worsley, yeah.
All right, okay.
Yeah. And we'll get along...
Hamper. Can we have hamper?
Yeah, but only the night before we have a competition so I can feed him whiskey because he obviously doesn't perform so well with whiskey.
I suppose we better explain who Hamper is.
Hamper's one of these really annoying, frustrating people that are really nice, good fun, but... He's one of these really annoying, frustrating people that is really nice, but also is frustratingly good at whatever sport he tries.
Really.
Whether or not he's trained, no, but he's better than me. But if you give him a drink the night before, he can beat him. Which is what I did the other night.
We tried that with Graham McGilvery and it didn't work with me for the main 10K. But Hamper... We were at a dinner last week for your cycling club and Alan was saying, and one of the boys was saying, oh, we don't have fish, my wife's not very keen on it. And Hamper just turned to him and said, can you not cook?
He's very sarcastic.
The other boy got his own back for him later on, but it was that kind of banter. So, yeah, I think Hamper would be a good crack.
Yeah. And his wife keeps him in check.
Yeah, she's ace. I love Ross.
So who else? Is that who you're having?
Well, I wasn't going to, but I will have now.
Right, okay. Well, I was going to have Bear Grylls as well. I think we've had him before.
We've had Bear Grylls.
But he's sort of like, would be a kind of...
How about having Bear Grylls and Ernest Shackleton?
Oh, wow. Yeah.
That would be quite cool.
Yeah, definitely.
See, Ernest Shackleton had a...
And we'd have Cook as
well.
A
whole pile of people around him to help him survive that. And Henry didn't.
No, he was self-supporting.
And whilst Shackleton, back in the day, I think they'd possibly be a bit more used to surviving with all the morcones that we have.
Mm.
But well, it was still an amazing thing that they did.
Oh, just, aye. I think in a way, kind of on a very much smaller scale, and it's been done before many times, but I keep on going on about the Cape Raft Trail.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to do it rather than south to north, I want to do it north to south because we're already at the north.
Mm.
And then I want to get to, it's basically it's a 250-mile trail off-road, but I want to sort of deviate and do it on my bike. And then when I get to Fort William, because it's basically from Cape Wrath in the northwest down to Fort William, and then I want to get to Fort William and follow the West Highland Way, which I've ran and cycled that before, and then cut off on the West Highland Way up Glenetive and then up Lochetive, get a cup of tea at my ma's. And then if we do it with another lad who we've been discussing doing it, Graham, who's a mate of mine in Hammers, and he, his, I think his mum stays in Comrie, which is near Creef in Perth.
Mm-hmm.
So we can carry on down the West Highland Way, cut off at Crane Larrick, and take the old railway route, which is an off-road route, through to Creef, and mm-hmm. then get cut in at Comrie,
mm-hmm.
and then phone you to come and pick us up.
You'll be taking the train home, boys.
So I fancy that, but I keep on talking about it for the last couple of years, but it's really, it's one of them things that I'd rather do it with someone else because it's an adventure you want to share.
Yeah.
It's not something you want to do on your own.
No. Any listeners fancy coming and do it with Richard, feel free. Just bring whiskey. Yeah.
Take about 5 to 7 days, I think.
Mm-hmm. When are you going to do this?
When?
Aye.
Summertime.
Oh.
Sometime. I've got the gear. I've got the maps.
Oh, well.
I keep telling everyone, I've got the maps.
You're halfway there.
Oh, aye. Oh, I've had the maps out and planned it all.
We got some lovely messages last episode about you saying coup. Could you say coup for the listeners, please?
Coup.
Uh-huh. And also your Ode to the Haggis.
Oh, aye, yeah.
That was quite
Burns, and I'm not a fan of Burns anyway.
I know, but the Burns did it brilliantly.
Oh, it was great. It was a really nice meal.
Yeah.
Really good fun.
Daisy was brilliant. Well, yeah. Sandy's so eloquent. So, thank you for that, listeners. Much appreciated. I was reading out all the comments and compliments. My head was getting too big. So, that Stram, would you buy it again?
Do you want to know a secret?
Yeah.
I have.
Richard, where you stashed it?
I've not. It's, I got it off online because it was a lot cheaper.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Have we forsaken Mackay's then?
Well, if there's a £13 difference in it, mm-hmm. yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But no, because in Mackay's you can go in and have a chat, and they've got all the whiskies on the wall.
Yeah, they do.
You can see which ones you have.
Very knowledgeable.
And I don't mind paying that little bit extra for that kind of thing, but when it comes to sort of like 20%
plus
in the price difference, then I'll go and shop elsewhere.
Uh-huh. She was also saying about the Wolfburn whiskey
mm-hmm.
ready on the 1st of March.
Mm-hmm. So and we've had the Dunnet Bay Distillery
mm-hmm.
vodka and gin over there.
Yes, the vodka, the Holy Grass vodka is honestly,
it's amazing.
It's like the Holy Grail of vodka.
Just a wee drop of water and it's lovely.
Yeah, I am not into vodka particularly at all, but we got this for Christmas. Did I get it or did you get it or was it a particular?
Well, I bought it for you.
Ah.
To stroke us.
Yes. It was my present, but we drank it. How's that? I'm so nice to him. And just with a bit of water, and the flavours in the vodka, just absolutely beautiful. Mm. So if you're not a big vodka person, but your friend is, in a craft gin type of way, get this and just have a wee dram of it. I don't think you want two.
No, just one.
Well, you do want
two. But
you
don't, because you waste the second one.
Yeah, because it's so flavoursome. The second dram that you would have, just...
And don't...
No.
Don't, or try not to... have it with tonic or lemonade or anything like that.
Because
it'll kill the flavour.
And the flavours are quite intense.
Mm.
Just, I totally recommend that. I didn't think there was a muckle lot of point of doing it on the drams because we wouldn't be able to do what colour it is.
It's clear.
Well, there you go. I've got no colour for that other than unicorn horn. Narwhal horn, tusk.
Narwhal,
unicorn of the seas, better than bees, but they don't climb trees because they're better than awesome. I'm a big attempt to do that and replace it.
You better copyright that because people will be stealing that.
I know. Yeah, we'll have to do that.
It's our composer, son and daughter.
We can retire.
Oh, that'd be amazing. We just retire as professional whiskey and vodka and gin tasters.
Oh dear. Right. So,
what were you doing today?
Running.
How far?
10 miles. 10.7 miles.
I know, you did awesome.
I ran from our house all the way up to Donaghadee, which is the most northerly point of mainland Britain.
And you got some good photos.
Yeah, he's got a lovely photograph of me sitting down. I'm on a run, here's me sitting down at the very top of Donaghadee viewpoint. And if you're doing a pub quiz, remember, Jonah Groats is not the most northerly point, Donaghadee is. And then we ran 5 kilometres back down Donaghadee because that's where the car was, and that's what 10.7 miles was.
Mm-hmm. You did great.
So did you.
Thank you.
I was doing it tree by tree, and then I was doing it passing space by passing space. I was even doing it...
I was going to say, tree by tree, there's no trees in Caithness.
No. I was doing gorse bush by gorse bush at one point. There was quite a lot of up, yet there was a lot of down at the same time. Well, afterwards. So, it was another step or two, or... 1,000 on the route to Inverness Half Marathon. And I'd like to say a very big thank you to those that have sponsored us from my listenership, because there's been quite a few of you. Much appreciated.
That's good effort, man.
Yeah, it really is appreciated. Oh, I know who else I would like just to cheers.
Who's that?
Jamie and Steve. Slanchfa.
So,
would you bought this again.
Okay.
Do you have anything else to say on this one?
Just give me more. Oh, hold on. I've got more coming. But you're not allowed to open it because I might have your birthday and Valentine's present in there too. So.
Oh, you're so romantic. I haven't bought you anything yet.
That's all right. I'll just have yours.
Okay. We share that way. We're nice listeners. Yeah. Okay, so...
Oy-hi-va.
I cannot recommend this one highly enough. If you like a smoky or a peaty dram, or you just fancy trying a whiskey... Oh my, does it make my mouth water thinking about it. And whilst it's 5 p.m. somewhere, it's only 11 a.m. here. Don't think there was any outtakes this time.
Shoppy section.
The shop is stocked. There's McLean, Farquharson, Wallace, Robertson, Ancient Macmillan, Ancient and Fraser, Weathered Fraser bags. There is 2 sheep and 1 Highland Tea cosy in there. If you feel you would like to contribute to my continued running of the podcast but get stuff back as well, then please do go visit www.etsy.com/shop/Caithness Craft. And actually, my renewal for my subscription is coming up, so that's exactly where the contribution would go to for the next month. So you get me back for another year.
Blah 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 section.
Thank you very much for listening. I appreciate you taking the time to download and then listen to me bleed on and splaff. My email is caithnesscraftcollective@gmail.com. I am on Ravelry as Louise Hunt, Etsy, Twitter, Pinterest, Instagram, Facebook as caithnesscraft, and you can access the Flickr photo from LouiseG2010 or the Podbean site is www.caithnesscraftcollective.podbean.com. The photos are down the right hand side. Thank you for listening. I'm away swimming now. Keep on crafting.